It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer, Kent. Voters in our battleground state, they head to the polls tomorrow for the spring general election with a high-profile contest to decide the next state Supreme Court justice and a multitude of local office elections, several statewide ballot initiatives as well. Call in with your questions about what to expect at your local polling place tomorrow. What's on your mind about the management of state elections? The number is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Megan Wolf is administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Megan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Good morning. So what are state election authorities and local election clerks doing today to prepare for polls opening in now less than 24 hours?
Yeah, so your local election official, they're going to be very busy today getting their polling places ready. So today, you can't register to vote. You can't vote in person absentee because today is the day when your local election official is getting the polling place ready so that they're ready to go tomorrow at 7 a.m. across the state. The poll workers will also be involved with today and getting ready for tomorrow as well. And so it's an exciting day for preparation. At the state level, we're answering calls. So we're there to be a resource for our local election officials as they're making preparations for tomorrow and to answer voter questions and make sure that people have the information that they need as they get ready to head to the polls tomorrow.
Do local clerks have enough poll workers at this point?
We have not heard of any concerns from local election officials that they don't have enough poll workers. There have been some pretty tremendous efforts from the major political parties in the last few years to provide lists of poll workers. State law says that local election officials, they choose from lists from the political parties before they are going to choose unaffiliated poll workers to work at their polling place. And so we've really seen some huge efforts by the major political parties to provide those lists in the last couple of years. And I think we're hearing that around the state, clerks are feeling well-staffed.
Well-staffed. Okay, so turning to the high-profile state Supreme Court race for just a moment, closing in on $45 million being poured into this campaign for the state Supreme Court. Does that put any added pressure on election administrators when you look at a race of that magnitude?
Whenever we have a election that is high profile, especially in a spring election cycle, our really major concern is just making sure we're prepared for potentially larger turnout. So turnout in a spring election is typically quite low. We'd see around 15% of registered voters participating in a spring election. And so when a contest is more high profile, or when we have something like we do tomorrow, which is a statewide race on an April election, then we know to work with the clerks to prepare for potentially a higher turnout. But again, still in a spring election, we don't typically see anywhere close to the turnout that we'd see for a November general election. So I think we are prepared for tomorrow, even if it is a little bit higher turnout than we typically see in April.
So you're not concerned about the potential for long lines at polling locations?
So local election officials have to prepare for what their accommodations are going to be for election day. Sometimes in a spring election, you will see fewer polling places in some jurisdictions just because there are fewer voters. But again, your local election official is the one making those determinations about how many polling places are needed. And I don't have any reason to believe that tomorrow we'll see anything out of the ordinary. I think that our local election officials are well prepared for tomorrow.
Talking about Tuesday's spring general election right around the corner, Megan Wolf is here, administrator of our state's election agency. You can join in the conversation. Your questions about voting front and center, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. You know, with early voting that ended Saturday, can you tell us anything about how early voting has gone in our state?
Yeah, so I can tell you a couple of things about how absentee voting has gone so far in Wisconsin. So there's two ways to cast your absentee ballot. There's by mail, and then there's in-person absentee voting that happens in your municipality. So absentee ballot requests. So as of yesterday, we saw about 503,000 absentee ballots that had been requested. Of those, about 408,000 had been returned. In terms of in-person absentee voting, as of yesterday, there were about 173,000 absentee ballots that had been completed during in-person absentee voting. And in terms of a percentage of the number of ballots that have been requested by mail and have been returned by mail, about 71% of the ballots that have been requested by mail have been returned. So if you do have your absentee ballot by mail and you still need to return that, you're going to want to return that in person. And remember that you, for most voters, you're going to need to return that absentee ballot yourself to your local election official. So look at those instructions that came with your absentee ballot about where to return it. And for voters with disabilities, and this is really important, for a voter with a disability, you do have the option to have someone of your choosing return your absentee ballot for you. So to actually return that absentee ballot to your clerk on your behalf. But you do want to get those absentee ballots back if you have one that you requested by mail no later than 8 o'clock on election day. Clerks cannot accept ballots that come in after 8 o'clock on election day. So you're going to want to make sure to get those back.
Of the numbers that you just said to us, is there anything that stands out to you about what you've seen here in early voting for a spring election?
There's nothing unusual really about these numbers other than they do seem like they are a little bit higher. Although, you know, it's hard to tell exactly what the turnout will be based on absentee numbers because we have sort of seen these changing and evolving trends in absentee. So it was very high in 2020, and we've seen the number of absentee ballots or the usage of absentee ballots go down a little bit in the last few years. And so I guess it's still to be seen how these absentee ballot trends will relate to in-person turnout tomorrow.
Okay. So in-person turnout tomorrow, polls opening, as you said, at 7 a.m., closing at 8 p.m. What should voters bring with them to their polling place?
That is the great question. So if you're headed to the polls tomorrow, first thing you need to do is go to myvote.wy.gov, check your voter registration record. If your registration needs to get updated, you can register to vote at the polls tomorrow. If you're registering to vote at the polls tomorrow, you're going to want to make sure to bring something with you that has your current name and your current address on it. And that can be something like a utility bill, a bank statement, or if your Wisconsin photo ID has your current address on it, you can use that as well. But for anybody, if you're already registered to vote, if everything's up to date, then you're going to need to bring your photo ID with you. And for photo ID, you can use a Wisconsin driver license, a Wisconsin state ID card, a U.S. passport, a military or a veteran's ID, a tribal ID, a certificate of naturalization, or some student IDs. And you can find more by visiting bringit.wy.gov. And if you don't have an acceptable photo ID for voting, you can still participate tomorrow and you can get an ID for free through the Division of Motor Vehicles. And you'd be able to cast a provisional ballot at tomorrow's election. Another big reminder though for that photo ID component is your photo ID. So if you're already registered to vote and you're just going in to cast your ballot, you're showing your photo ID, it does not need to have your current address on it. So make sure you've got that photo ID with you. And if you need to register to vote, make sure you bring that proof of residence document with you to the polls tomorrow.
Megan Wolf is administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, our state's top elections official, ahead of tomorrow's spring general election. Join in by calling with your questions on voting. Bring your perspective as a voter. Headed to the polls, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. You're on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report in the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here as we have the administrator of the nonpartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission. Megan Wolf is here ahead of tomorrow's spring general election with information on what to expect at the polls, how to ensure your vote is counted. Join in by calling with your questions about voting, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Megan, I want to turn to what people have been seeing pop up in their mailbox. Election officials say the group Center for Voter Information has been sending pre-filled applications for absentee ballots that often contain wrong information. What effect do incorrect mailers have on local election workers?
So that's a great question. And I know that these mailers are of great frustration to voters. They're of a great frustration to me, too. I think that the best thing that voters can do is when they get mailers, don't pay attention to the mailers in terms of using them as an official form to get registered or request your absentee ballot. Instead, go right to the source, get to the official source for the information on elections. And that is myvote.wy.gov. And that's where you can find information about your voter registration record that is coming directly from your municipal clerk. And so that's really the source of the information. That's where you should go to learn about exactly what the status of your voter registration is, the status of your absentee ballot requests. Get right to the source. Go to myvote.wi.gov.
But how troublesome have these mailers become for election administration? How widespread are they in our state?
Unfortunately, this is nothing new. This is something we always see during major elections, is mailers from third parties that are assisting. You know, we see these from all across the political spectrum and from other nonprofit groups. So unfortunately, it's nothing new. And the best thing we can do is tell voters to go right to the source, to go to myvote.wi.gov, or to contact your local election official if you have any questions. Voter information, so your name, your address, and if you participated in elections and the method you participated in the election is all by state law a matter of public record. So political parties, third party groups, they can purchase this data and utilize it to send mailers. But some of them might use other sources to get that data that they use to send these mailers, and that source might be inaccurate. And so you can't rely on the third-party mailers that you're receiving. Go right to the source, get the official information from your clerk.
Voters concerned also about privacy concerns, and you really laying it out there as to what is public information. And this segues here. In terms of security, you recently told PBS Wisconsin that sustainable funding is needed to ward off cyber attacks ahead of elections in the future. Are you concerned about the security of tomorrow's election?
I am not concerned about the security of tomorrow's election. Wisconsin has done a tremendous job. Our local election officials have done a tremendous job of ensuring that we are secure in how we operate our elections. So Wisconsin has the most decentralized election system in the country. We have 1,850 municipal clerks that are running elections. And so that also means that it would be incredibly difficult for somebody to do anything widespread because of that decentralization. That being said, that we have taken great steps over the last 5 years to really fortify all of our systems. But I still think that sustainable funding, so looking to the future, is really important, because when we have 1,850 municipal clerks, that means that the funding that comes from the federal government can be more difficult to disperse. And so I feel great about the posture that we're in right now. I feel great about the posture we'll be in for the next few years, but we really need to look at ways to make sure that we're sustaining those efforts that were built using federal funds for the future, encouraging our local communities to budget for the things they need to make sure that their jurisdiction can remain secure in the future.
What's been that biggest step forward, would you say, in fortifying the security of elections? What's been a game changer in recent times?
So we've done many things, but one of the things we're working on right now has been using the federal grant funds to provide subgrants to local jurisdictions. And those subgrants can be used in local jurisdictions to purchase new devices, new computers that meet the standards needed to access the state database. They can also be used for local election jurisdictions, local clerk's offices, to migrate their email systems to an official .gov account. And again, when we've got so many local jurisdictions, many of them weren't funded to be able to host their email through those pricier services. And so I think this grant really allows those jurisdictions to sort of even the playing field and make sure that everybody can benefit from .gov, not just from a cybersecurity perspective, but from a public perspective too, so that when they're interfacing with their voters and the clerks can be confident in how that email transaction is happening.
Megan Wolf is here, administrator of Wisconsin State Elections Agencies. We talk about voting ahead of tomorrow's spring general election. Thanks to Don from Janesville, called in to clarify, tomorrow voters can bring their ballots to the polls until 8 p.m. Polls open at 7 a.m., close at 8 p.m. Megan Wolf, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Although you need to look at the instructions that came with your absentee ballot about how your ballot can be returned tomorrow. In some jurisdictions, you're going to return that to the polling place. In others, you might have a central count jurisdiction. And in some communities, they're going to have you bring your ballot back to your clerk's office. So do make sure that you're looking at the instructions that came with your ballot. But all absentee ballots do have to be back by 8 p.m. tomorrow.
And what about the proper signature on the ballot and filling out the full address?
Yes, and please follow the instructions on your absentee ballot. So that absentee ballot certificate needs to be filled out completely. So you're going to need to make sure that you, the voter, are signing, certifying to everything on the certificate. And then you're going to need to make sure that your witness fills out the witness section completely. And this is very important, because if any of that information is missing, then your ballot can't be counted in most circumstances. So your witness needs to make sure that they're providing their name and signature, and also their address. So please fill out your certificate completely to make sure that your absentee ballot does indeed count.
Still time for your questions, 800-642-1234. Megan, we heard from John in Minocqua, called and has a question. John's wife got an absentee ballot and recently went into a nursing home. And John is the power of attorney, says that his wife's health has deemed her incompetent. So when John turned in their absentee ballot, John returned the wife's not filled out. How does John know if his wife is deemed incompetent on the voter roll?
Yeah, so they would need to, first of all, not all competency orders are the same. So when a judge makes a competency ruling, they're going to enumerate the reasons why, the rights that the voter no longer has. And so if the judge says specifically that their voting privileges have been revoked, then they would not be eligible to cast a ballot. And you would know this by checking myvote.wi.gov. And if you see that the status of the record is inactive, that means they're no longer eligible to receive an absentee ballot. Now, for privacy reasons, it's of course not going to say publicly the reasons why or get into the details of that competency order. But if somebody has been removed by your local election official from the list because they're no longer eligible to vote, then their voter registration status will no longer be active. But if you have specific questions about that, contact your local election official. You can find their information on myvote.wi.gov. And the clerk is the only one under statute who can make those changes to a voter record. So they'll be able to provide details about where they got that information and the action that they took on it.
Megan Wolf, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Megan Wolf is administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We have a link also to the MyVoteWI portal for all voting and election information from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. That link is at WPR.org/mornings. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.